Let's begin, Rebel Say. Who did I miss? Oh, and Yitzi Klein. Yitzi Klein is in the Shir. Okay, fine, say that. Okay, last time we learned, we spoke about the difference between Nida and Zava. And we presented the Shita of Rashi on the one hand, about how we calculate Yimei Nida versus Yimei Zava, versus the Shita of the Rambam, who has an entirely different calculation of Nida versus Zava. This calculation, this machlokes between Rashi and the Rambam, is largely academic. Lamaisa, it doesn't really matter very much. Because for us, every woman in the world who sees Dam is going to have to wait Shiva Nikiyah. Right? That's a fact. That's a fact on the book. Now, I should say it's a fact on the book. I'm talking about standard Orthodox halacha, Hilchos Nida Sfarim. If you go to a regular bookstore and you buy a certain Hilchos Nida book written by a particular woman who I won't tell you on record who she is, she writes that, well, she learned Hilchos Nida and she learned that you have to keep Shiva Nikiyim all the time after you see Dam. But then she opened up texts and she realized that the law is really completely different and there's a difference between a Nida and a Zava, and therefore now she educates Kalas that, again, unless it's a case that there's no difficulty and she doesn't mind keeping the extra time, but maybe it's a good idea that when you see Dam at the regular time, just keep 7 days, Nida, and go to the mikvah, chick-chack, boom. This is what she educates people. It's against the halacha. Shulchan Aruch says, you see any Dam, you keep Shiva Nikiyim, etc. That's what we're going to be talking about today in the Chumash Dvarim. Yes, Roy. Okay, so... Fine. So let's learn the Gemara together on Daf Samach Vav, how we got to this point where we keep Shiva Nikiyim. There's two stages in history. Zakt the Gemara, Samach Vav Amar Aleph, Amar Rav Yosef, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav, Hiskin Rebbe Besados. Okay? The way we have the Girsa in the Gemara, the Takana of Rebbe, and Rebbe for sure is a Takana. Takana means it's a Din Derabbanan, and Rebbe made a Besados. Rashi learns Besados means what? How does Rashi learn? People aren't B'nai Torah. In other words, we're dealing with Ame Ha'aretz. Ame Ha'aretz might make a mistake. So Rebbe wanted to make sure that Ame Ha'aretz don't make mistakes. So he said, you know what, if you see one day, you wait that day plus another six. You see 2 days, you wait according to our Girsa, those two plus another six. You see 3 days, you wait Shiva Nikiyim. That's what we call the Takana of Rebbe Basados. Right? Which is basically you see one, it's one plus six, two plus six, three equals Zayin Nikiyim. That's the Takana of Rebbe as it's mentioned in the Gemara. The other Rishonim have a slightly different gear, so the Takana of Rebbe might not have been Besados, it might not have been for Ame Ha'aretz, it might have been in a particular community. The Rush has the Takana of Rebbe was Besura. It's a little bit strange that Rebbe would make a Takana of Besura, no? Rebbe lived in. Eretz Yisrael, Sura is... Where's Sura? Anyone know? Besides Bala, Sura is a famous town in Iraq, Fallujah. Fallujah, Iraq is Sura, or so they say. It's a little bit schwer that Rebbe would make a Takana in Sura, but okay, that's the way the Rush has the gear, so other have the gear so that Rebbe made the Takana Bisavdis. I don't know exactly what Savdis was. The point is, it's a Takana in a specific location or for a specific group of people. Now, this Takana of Rebbe, that I see Dam for 1 day, I keep that 1 day plus 6 other days. Those 6 other days are what type of days? Right, remember, yeah?
They have to be
Nucky, but we are not going to call them classical Nikiyim. No? The Tosus HaRush makes this point. What's the issue? Rebbe basically is saying, you know what, if you are a woman and you see Dam, as a Nida, right, you have to keep 7 days that are Tamei. Our concern is that if you're going to see Dam, let's say 2 days, right? So you have to also keep, the way we have the gears, 6 additional days. Why? Because maybe day number one, the dam that you saw was not Nida dam. Why is it not Nida dam? Well, Rashi learns it not Nida dam because what? Maybe it was Zava Dam. Maybe the dam that you saw was in the Yemei Ziva. And Tosfos learns it's not Nida Dam because maybe it is
green.
Green. Right? Green dam is not Tamei. By the way, if you see green dam, go to the doctor immediately. Right? Green dam is probably very, very, very bad. Blue dam, also go to the doctor right away. Right? Don't pass go. Just go to the doctor. Fine. The point is that Rebbe makes this takana that you have to keep 6 days. Why? Because we're worried that maybe Nidus begins on day two of the sighting, not on day one. And Mela, right, those 6 days have to be clean days. Because if there's any dam on that day, any dam that I see, right, I'm going to suspect that maybe that's the Tumei dam on the latter day, and the earlier day was Tamar dam for some sort of reason, or the type of dam that doesn't create the 7-day Nida period. So therefore, right, if I see dam for 2 days, I keep one, then I keep 6 clean days. These dam have to be, we'll call them clean days, not Nikiyim. Right? It's not Shiva Nikiyim L'chora in the sense that you need Bedikos, but it's Shiva Nikiyim in the sense it better be 6 days without seeing any dam. Because any dam that I see, I have to be nervous. Well, maybe this is the real dam and the previous dam wasn't real, right? I'm not sure. Because we lost the ability to differentiate between the various shades of color, right? We don't know what, that's the way Tosfos is going to be learning, right? Which is true la halacha, by the way, no? The Gemara says, the Mishnah says, there's only 5 colors that are Tamei. 4 reds, 1 black, no? We assume every red is Tamei. We lost the ability to make it, we lost the ability to distinguish between colors. Therefore, what we're going to say is that you see 2 days, you still need 6 days. We'll call them clean days, not Shiva Nikim. But if I see Dam for 3 days, so then Rebbe says, what do I need? Zion Nikim for real. Why? Right? Zion Nikim, classic Nikim, right? Which we'll call Nikim plus Bedikos, no? This is only clean days, which means no bedikos. This is, I think, the pshat in the Tosfos Harosh in Sugya. If I see dam for 1 day, 6 clean days, not bedikos. 2 days, 6 clean days, not bedikos. That probably means you just wear underpants. That you see that there's no dam. But you see dam for 3 days, you need shiva nikim with bedikos. Why? Because Rebbe is nervous. If I see dam for 3 days, maybe those 3 days of dam that I saw are really 3 days during Yemei Ziva, and thereby require Shiva Nikim for real. So the Shita of Rebbe, the Takana of Rebbe Shabbos Sados, once I see dam for 3 days, I have to be nervous it's a Zava. Why would that be true? Why would that be true that if I see dam for 3 days, I'm nervous it's a Zava? I know it's not a Zava. It's her regular period. So one answer is in the Sadot, they don't know their cycle. They're such Amei Ha'aretz, they don't know when they menstruate. That's Aruch HaShulchan's Kasha. Aruch HaShulchan, Kuf Pei Gimel, Sif Yud Beis, Yud Gimel, Yud Dalet, Tesrov, Tazayin, Yud Zayin, Yud Ches, Yud Tes. Goes on for a while. Asks the Kasha, what type of takana is Rebbe making? You see, for 3 days, maybe you're a Zava, right? What type of Amei Ha'aretz doesn't know? So the answer is,
we don't care
what
we expect. We have that assumption.
The answer is the Rambam. If I hold like Rashi and Elchanami. Right? If I hold like Rashi. So whenever I see blood I'm expecting, I'm a Nida. I see blood I'm not expecting, I'm a Zava. But if I hold like Rambam, that at Menarche, at my first period, I mark up my calendar, 7-11, 7-11, 7-11 forever. So then, right, it's not so hard to imagine that the Amei Ha'aretz are going to make a mistake. And the Amei Ha'aretz aren't going to know, are they Nida or Zava? So Rebbe says, you know what? Anytime you see for 3 days, Shiva Nikiyim. Yeah?
Rashi's one who writes
Besodos is Amei Ha'aretz. Rashi writes Besodos Amei Ha'aretz. So according to Rashi, you have to say that for these Amei Ha'aretz, you have to say somehow that you're such an Amei Ha'aretz. Right? The Aruch HaShulchan says it's much better according to the Rambam. I don't really understand according to Rashi. Rashi was Jitase. How does Rashi learn the Gemara?
That Teres won't work.
That Teres won't work. And you have to kvecher me. I don't know. It's very difficult to assume. It's schwer to say that you're gonna make a mistake between being a nida and a zava. It's really difficult, no?
If a woman's bleeding a lot, she goes through 2 months where she's bleeding a lot, and every few days she's bleeding a little bit here, a little bit there. It's not hard to imagine that she doesn't know what anymore.
Again, according to Rashi, any ordinary re'iyah is nidus, right? If it's a re'iyah at a time and I don't expect that I'm a zava, and then I make my calculations, right? Once I'm a zava, I have to finish my shemini kim. Maybe the pshat is according to Rashi that these women might not know that for a zava you need shemini kim in general. So, and they might think, oh, you sit down for 3 days. So maybe you just keep 4 other days, and right? Maybe that's, they might not know Chumash. There's such Amei Aretz, they don't know Chumash, no? Think about the being of Korea says there's no such thing as an Amei Aretz who doesn't know Chumash. Zil Kri Bei Rav, Korea Staff Gimel. No such thing as having an Amei Aretz who doesn't know Chumash. Right, they never came to our yeshiva, I guess. Right? But, okay, I should have said that, that was very bad. But the point is that, you see, there is an institution of a genuine Am Ha'aretz. According to the Rambam, it certainly is better. I'll make that Ha'ara. According to the Rambam, it's much more glatt, it's much smoother how we arrive at the requirement for Shiva Nakim when you see for 3 days. Yeah, Moshe.
According to Rashi, you still have to keep track of the 7-11, 7-11. That's just like a presumption that you
mean. Well, according to Rashi, it's 7-11, and then whenever I start bleeding again in a normal way, another 7 begins. Right, so it's not shayif to have an initial re'iyah that's going to be a zava. Right, according to the Rambam, I could be a zava without first being a nida. According to Rashi, I can't be a zava unless I was previously a nida. So it's harder to make this.
7-11, wait for blood. 7-11, wait for. So you don't have to be back in between.
Exactly. So according to Rashi, it's much harder to understand the concern that maybe you'll be a zava. To say there. Now, that's takana of Rebbe Shabbosados. Then Reb Zeira comes, and Reb Zeira says, "Benos Yisrael hechamira al atzman." And this is the famous chumrah of Reb Zeira that the Jewish women were machmir on themselves. Afilu ro'os tipos dam kecharda yoshos olav zayin nikiyim. Even they see a tiny drop of blood kecharadal, they sit zayin nikiyim. No, that is the famous chumrah de Rabbi Zeira. What is Rabbi Zeira adding that Rebbe doesn't have? So l'chora, the answer is, according to Rebbe, if I see a tipas dam, how long do I keep? 6 other clean days. Rebbe Zeira says, you see that tipas dam, you have to keep 7 clean days, and not only do they have to be clean days, they have to be nekiyim. They have to have bedikos also. Right? That's what Reb Zeira is adding. Reb Zeira is also adding that this applies to all women, not only the Amei Ha'aretz, but every woman requires Shiva Nikiyim. That's the famous Chumra de Rabbi Zeira. Every woman requires Shiva Nikiyim. Now, Shiva Nikiyim with Bedikos, we're defining, like the Tosfos HaRosh does on this stuff, that the definition of Nikiyim means Bedikos. I'm distinguishing between the word clean and the word Nikiyim. Clean means a day that I don't see blood. Nikiyim means with Bedikos, I need full-fledged Bedikos. Shiva Nikiyim, chick-chack, boom, that's it, you're a full-fledged Nida. Chumra de Rabbi Zeira. Now, there are different shitos in Rishonim as to how Reb Zeira got to this point. No? How is it that I only see a teeny drop of dam, kicharadal, and I still keep Shiva Nikiyim? So, Moshe?
The Jewish women, they took the chumrah on themselves.
They took the chumrah on themselves, okay, and therefore?
And therefore, it's dasyudis.
Therefore, say it again?
Therefore, it's dasyudis.
So one approach is, I think what you're trying to suggest is, that the Jewish women took the chumrah on themselves, and it's not governed by genuine rules of halacha. No? They just, it's a minhag! Chumrah de Reb Zeira, right? It's a chumrah al atzman, it's just a regular minhag. It's not necessarily governed by the ordinary rules of halacha. That's one mahalach, correct? Who learns this way? What? The Chinuch says this way, maybe. Well, I'm not sure about the Chinuch. The Ravid for sure says this way. And the Rambam says this way. No?
And we'll talk about one other person in a minute. They assume that Chumrat Reb Zeira is just a minhag. The Rambam, if you look, Perek Yud Aleph of Isurei Bia, Halacha Gimel and Daled. Okay, Halacha Gimel, again, this was my mistake for not putting it on the Makoros, but Halacha Gimel just says, Bimei Chachmei HaTalmud Nistapek Hadava Harbe Bereias Hadamim V'Niskalkulu HaVestos. At the time of the Gemara already, they weren't sure about colors of blood, and vestals got messed up. Because not every woman could calculate what's nida, what's ziva. Okay? Point one is, there is a big suffix. And women couldn't make the calculations. Therefore, the Chachamim made a chumrah, and they made a gezeira that will treat women like a zava. She may koha isha kime zivasa. The Acharonim speak out that what the Rambam is trying to say is Rebbe. Treating every woman like a zava basically means that if you see one day, you're a zava katana, so technically you have to keep one clean day. Right. What we'll do is, we'll say keep 6 days anyway, just to be sure. 2 days, you're really a Zava Katana, right? That's what some Acharonim say. By the way, if that's the shot, though, that really it's based on maybe you're a Zava, the Takona of Rebbe is that maybe you're a Zava, so these days are not just clean days, you would need 1 day with Bedikos. No? Because one of these days is a Zava Katana day, so I'd have to do Bedikos on one of these 6 clean days. The Rambam doesn't speak it all out properly, but the way the Acharonim understanding, Perek Yud Aleph, Halacha Gimel, the Rambam is saying Rebbe. Yeah.
But why are they at 6? You might be Anita.
They get 6 because maybe you're Anita. I'll cover all bases.
Yeah, we're not
there for all bases. What? So I'm covering bases. I have 6 clean days, right? I need 6. Of those 6 clean days, one of those days would be Bedikos, because maybe I'm a Zava. I think this is the way that Acharonim understand Rambam. Habayahi shez ma'od lo b'mashma midivrei HaRambam. Because the Rambam should tell me that I need Bedikos in 1 day. He should tell me I need 6 days. He doesn't say the word 6. He doesn't say the word 1. Like, the whole thing is Ikar Chasam and HaSefer. But this is, I think, standard Judaism within the Rambam. Okay? Standard Judaism. Halacha Dalet. Va'oid. And here he doesn't say Hechmiru Chachonim. Here he says Hechmiru Benos Yisrael Al Atzman Chumra Yisera Alzu. Benos Yisrael had a bigger chumra than this. V'nagu Kulam B'chol Makom Sheyesh Yisrael. They made this minhag when in any place where there are Yidden. B'chol Makom Sheyesh Yisrael. Right. In other words, it's not limited to specific locations. Any place. Shekobasi sosha tiradam afil oras as tipas kechar do bavad upasak adam so first la shiva yemei nikiim vafil oras beis nidusa bein sharas yom echad oishneim ol hashiva kulan o yeser mishisak adam so first shiva nikiim kizav gedola etc. Okay. The Rambam sounds like that it's a chumra that the women made and it's a minhag. Right? And presumably, Rav Soloveitchik wanted to say, within the Rambam, the Rav notes on Nida have not yet been published, but I do have a file of them that, if you can get them from the library, you could photocopy Rav Schechter's copy, or I have a file of someone who typed up, and hopefully over the course of the year we'll work on putting them out. That's one of the bigger plans. But the Rav notes on Nida said, oh, well, it's a chumra hatan, it's a minhag. If it's a minhag, it's not really governed by ordinary rules. And therefore, you know what? Okay, so they keep Shiva Nikiyim. Technically speaking, there's absolutely no reason why you need Shiva Nikiyim. You saw Adam for 1 day. Absolutely no need why you should keep Shiva Nikiyim. No halakhic basis. Stama zoya minhag. No? That's one mahalach. There are other mahalachim, though, in Mishonim that treat Chumra de Rabbi Zeira more than just an ordinary minhag without basis. It's very funny that the Rav, who's always the champion of saying that every minhag has to be a kiyum of something else, over here is saying that it's a chum without basis. Hold that, we'll get back to it at the end of this year. Hey, this gets into a dub in the Vardic land, no? But approach number two and approach number three are as follows. One mahalach we could say is that it's a chash. The other mahalach we could say is that it's a gezeira. Who wants to tell me the difference between a chash and a gezeira? Yeah, Yaakov?
It sounds like chashash is something might have happened actually that I didn't realize. And gezeira is probably going to happen now, but it seems like it happened now. You never know what happened one time. I want to be careful.
Okay, or better. A chashash is that it might have happened. Yitzi?
No, chashash is that it might happen versus gezeira is that. If I care, gezeira is that it might happen, so let's make sure it doesn't happen. Chashash is that it might have happened.
Well, a gezeira is a precautionary measure, no?
Right, it might happen.
It might happen, or it might be a gezeira that people might intellectually make a mistake, might confuse, right? I'm using gezeira here in the sense of more confusion. People might make a mistake. The chashash is more that it might happen. One approach to chumrah der gezeira is that it's a chashash. I saw Dom for one day. Yeah, you say it's one day. But you know what? Maybe it was really three. Why is it maybe three? Well, some Rishonim say because maybe you saw Beinash Mashasir, Beinash Mashas there, and one becomes three. That doesn't sound like Jewish mathematics, one equals three, but whatever. Some assume that one becomes three. Right? You saw it for one day, but okay, maybe you saw it during Beinash Mashas before the day, and the Re'iyah continued to Beinash Mashas after. Or some say Tzipas Dam Kechardo, you saw a teeny bit, maybe you saw the previous day a teeny bit, and the previous day a teeny bit, and it got lost. Or maybe each day you saw a tiny bit, V'koisli Beis HaRechem HemiDuhu, the blood was held into her body, no? So one Re'iyah maybe equals three Re'iyahs. Remember, the Halacha, the Eilai says that Re'iyah means when it leaves the Bayis Hafitza, the Bayis, the Cheder. The Cheder is generally called the uterus. And it goes, let's say, the Pashtus is it goes into the cervix. And when the Dam goes from the uterus into the cervix, at that point, that's Dam Nida, has not yet left the body. Maybe a Tipas Dam Kecharda will leave the body, but that Tipas Dam Kecharda left the body represents three, one-third of a Tipas on three different days that left the Cheder into the cervix. And therefore, it's one big Re'iyah. That's called a Chash. That means that this one Re'iyah is really a possibility of representing three. Right? The Mahalach of Gezeira, of confusion, I think is the other day of Rashi there in Megillah. No? The other day of Rashi in Megillah is that you see Dam, right? One day, you'll keep Shiv in the Kiyam. Why? Because of Rashi, there is a din of Shiva Nekiyim for one Re'iyah. When is that? If you're in the middle of Shiva Nekiyim and you see one teeny Re'iyah, you have to keep another Shiva Nekiyim. It's so Saras. So thereby, Gezeira unto that, a confusion. You know what? People might think, one second, I just saw one little drop of blood a few weeks ago and they told me I had to keep seven clean days. Right? So people will confuse that drop of blood with another drop of blood. It's not a chashash, it's a Gezeira. Right, it's an issue of confusion rather than an issue that maybe in reality it could lead to Shiva Nekiyim. In reality, according to approach number three, you see Tipas Dam, it can't lead to Shiva Nekiyim because you're not in the middle, you're Shiva Nekiyim. No? Yeah, you're right. In theory, if I'd be in the middle of Shiva Nekiyim, I'd see a drop of Dam, that could require me to count another Shiva Nekiyim. But I'm not in the middle of Shiva Nekiyim. So why do I have to count Shiva Nekiyim? Right? The answer is the Gezeira. Right? People might get confused. At face, the woman saying, one second, the rabbi told me I have to keep Shiv Nekiyim. Sometimes I don't have to keep Shiv Nekiyim. You know what? The rabbi was just giving me chumras. I'll never keep Shiv Nekiyim when I see a drop of blood. Oy vey. Right? They'll make a mistake. I think there's a big difference between approach two and approach three. Okay? B'kitzur ha-ma'aseh, there are three. Again, these approaches, approach two, chashash, comes in many different forms. There's the kosmei beis harechem. Hemiduhu, there's an approach of maybe Ne'evad on a few days. There's a few different Mahalchim and Rishonim, but they all equal Chashash. No? You saw it, you say it's a teeny drop, only one day, and maybe it was really three. This approach is not saying it was maybe really three. This is saying, well, since the Alma, there is a situation that one drop causes Shiva Nikiyam, so we'll always say one drop causes Shiva Nikiyam to avoid confusion. Fundamentally, it's very different. Conceptually, it's a totally different type of concern. Rafi, you had a comment? Yeah, Moshe.
1 equals 3 is because by the once it leaves the uterus to the cervix, that's when it's considered a video. But by the time you see it,
by the time I see it,
3 days already before it.
Exactly. So that drop that comes out might be the accumulation of 3 drops. That's one approach. Or maybe that drop is only that drop, but there are 2 other drops that got lost somewhere. Or right, there are different. Or maybe this one drop. I don't know how exactly this works out with Bein HaShmashos, but I mean, you have to be creative. The point is that the issue of 1 equal 3 is an issue of chashash. A chashash is fundamentally different than the gezeira. It's a different type of rabbinic mechanism, no? So one approach is minhag. Both approaches, 2 and 3, I think if it's a chashash or if it's a gezeira, this sounds like it was an enactment. No? Well, chashash and gezeira are different mechanisms by which the rabbis come and they tell everybody to do it. It's not just that the women decided something. Right? The way I thought the Sefer HaChinuch said it is like this. Someone stole the Sefer HaChinuch from the basement this morning, no? Okay. But the way the Sefer HaChinuch I thought said it was that, you know what? The women had a minhag at one point. In later generations, the rabbi saw this minhag that the women had and they liked it, and the rabbi said, do what the women are doing. Right? That means it's an enactment. If it's an enactment, though, whenever the rabbonim enact something, they need a mechanism. If it's something that women just do on their own, you don't need any mechanism for how they do it. Women do it. Why do they do it? I don't know. They do it. Stamazoi. Just the ordinary minhag. But if it's an enactment, if it's a takana of hachamim, a gezeira of some sort, so then there has to be a mechanism, and different rishonim have different versions of the precise definition, the precise contours of what that mechanism is. Yeah?
Kind of based on the shash?
I think so.
That's why you're making
it. The hachamim, based on this shash, that maybe 1 equals 3, the rabbis made an enactment, whenever you see Dan, keep 7 days.
So maybe I have the facts wrong, therefore do it. Because there is, I don't care if you have the facts right, we've established that everyone should do this.
Because we're worried that maybe one woman at some point won't make a mistake, therefore we make such establishment. Yeah, you had a comment? No. Fair? Anyone? Fine, stay there. So these are 3 mahalchim. I think these are completely different mahalchim in how the chumrah of Rabbi Zeira works. Now, within Rishonim, which Rishonim assume that it is just an ordinary minhag? Which Rishonim assume it's not an ordinary minhag? Rather, it's an enactment of some sort. So we said that the Rambam sounds like it's just a minhag. Okay? The Rambam sounds, we'll put in minhag cam. And the Ravid, right? What does the Ravid say that tells me it's a minhag? The Ravid says like this. There was a day of, the Ravid here is quoting, right here. We have it on our sheets, no? The Balei HaNefesh Shar HaKesavim. Balei HaNefesh is written by the Ravid. Rabbi Savolonsky tells a story about how one time he was living in the Chofetz Chaim Yeshiva, and he was learning mikvahs, right? And he had a Balei HaNefesh, and like some Musar that comes over to him and says, oh, the Balei HaNefesh, oh, the Ravid, a Musar saved from the Ravid, oh, Gevaldik. Then he realized it was about Nida, mikvahs, and all these like strange Kesavim stuff. Oh, yeah, what type of Musar is that? So the guy like, not so interested. That's why I saw Musar's story, because it's funnier when he says it. The point is that the Balei HaNefesh of the Ravid quotes, right, Hare aninis kaktchila la'osam sha'omim she'en ksamim nohagim bizman hazeh. The Ravid decides to relate to those shitos that the dinim of ksamim do not apply anymore. Who are those positions who say that the ksamim don't apply anymore? That's possibly the Rif, because the Rif is mashmet on the dinim of ksamim, right? But more than possibly, definitely, it is a Ravid. But it's not the Ravid, it's the Ravid Baal HaEshkol, who is the father-in-law of our Ravid. Right? The historians point out there are three Ravids, right? Ravid number three is Abraham ibn Da'ud. He's a historian. No one ever read anything he wrote. Right? Ravid number one is the Ravid Baal HaEshkol. He is the father-in-law of Ravid number two, who's our Ravid. Our Ravid, right? The Ravid of the Baal HaNefesh, right? This is our Ravid. He is the Ravid who is the Bar Plukta of the Ramban. He died in the year 1197. When was he born? No one knows, because Rishonim aren't born, right? We have no idea when they were born, because he was born just a kid named Abraham, right? So, and then he was there in 1197, he's the Ravid. The Ravid was the major Rishon in Provence, but the Ravid had a Shver. The Ravid's father-in-law was also the Ravid, but this Ravid is Reb Avraham Bezdin. This is very important with Halacha, no? Our Ravid is named Reb Avraham ben David. Their Ravid is called Reb Avraham Ab Bezdin. That means you can have a father-in-law and a son-in-law with the same name, and we're not choshesh for the Sefer Hasidim, who says that you shouldn't marry, right? Right? Very important the halacha, no? Our Ravid. Fine. So the Reb Avraham Ab Bezdin wrote a book called the Sefer HaEshkol. Now, the Sefer HaEshkol comes in two different versions. There is the Arbath edition of the Sefer HaEshkol, and there is the Huber edition of the Sefer HaEshkol. In the Sefer HaEshkol of the Arbath edition, he writes that the dinim of ksamim no longer apply to Zman Hazeh. A kesem, when a woman just sees an ordinary stain, right? So we treat her like she's Tameya. Right? The Ravid Baal Sefer HaEshkol says that was true at the time when they kept the Dinim of Tumah and Tahara. But for us, that the Dinim of Nida only applies in order for a woman to separate from her husband, so the Din no longer applies whatsoever, Ksamim no longer applies. So our Ravid in the Baal HaNefesh is being misyachis to the Shita of his Shver in the Sefer HaEshkol. Eliyav Silverman points out his kuntras on Nida that this Ravid Shita only appears in the Arbach edition of the Sefer HaEshkol, not in the Buber edition of the Sefer HaEshkol. Whatever it's worth, he actually spent the time to look it up. But it's a known Shita of the Ravid, right? The Ravid Baal Sefer HaEshkol. So our Ravid comes and he rejects that Shita. How does our Ravid reject that Shita? Our Ravid says, no, the Dinim of Ksamim for sure applied this man Hazeh. What does he say? Chevra, you have the text of the Ravid in front of you. Right? So he writes, long, and he writes at the end, the top of the second page. I don't have to be Mayrech. I don't have to tell you that the Dinim of Ksamim applied as Man Hazeh. Why? Because the minhag is that we keep the Dinim of Ksamim. V'kaimalon min haga milsehi kidirat izera da'amai b'nei sisra amin nechmira al-atzman shabir will sikasan kechali yoshalav zayin v'kin v'halacha psukha yizu etc. v'brach islam and Allah. What does he say? What this Ravid is saying is, you know what? I love mirakach. Why are you making me crazy for the dinu ksamim don't apply b'zman hazeh? It's only for tumah tahara. Because every, ask any Jewish woman, does she keep the dinu ksamim? Of course she does. So it's a minhag. And we keep minhagim. Like Reb Zera keeps minhagim. That means that our Ravid is telling me that Chumrid Reb Zera is fundamentally a minhag. He's in the same camp as the Rambam. Again, maybe you could bring a quarter, a tenth, an 18th of a raya. The fact that the Ravid is not masig on the Rambam, who sounds like it's a chumra, efshar ken zayin, that's a shtickle raya. Probably not. But the fact is the Ravid in Baal HaNefesh is clearly saying that it is a chumra. Yeah, Eitan.
Isn't it a way, isn't Baiti saying that it's it's only a minhag nashim that maybe the Ravid Baal HaEshkol has his right in a sense? Because they're no way good.
I think that's what he's saying. In other words, first he tries to bring some rayas from the Gemara that his share is wrong. Then he says, and even Imtim Tzolayim, all these rayas are wrong. The fact is, we keep the dinim of Ksanim today. How do I know? Ask any Jewish woman, she keeps the dinim of Ksanim. Right? That means that he's saying that fundamentally, Chumrid Reb Zera is a minhag. Again, Ksamim just comes up as out of the way. Yeah, Jason.
I'm just wondering, according to the Bride, as it doesn't apply on it, what was the reason for that?
He was assuming that the dinim of Ksoma were based on Tumah and Tahara. And since Tumah and Tahara, right, I don't know about you, but I touch dead animals and then I live in the heights, so sometimes you get mice, no? A mouse is Matama B'masa, right? So that's one of the Shmona Shrotzen, no? Probably. So it's Matama B'masa, so you touch your dead mouse, so then you eat food. How does that happen, right? Okay. So we don't keep Tumah and Tahara anymore. Good enough. No, not a complete right. There's a third shita who assumes that Chumrid Reb Zeira is only a minhag, and that is the shita of the Baal HaMo'ar. The Baal HaMo'ar, by the way, right, for history's sake, the Baal HaMo'ar is the Chavrusa of the Ravid, and they were both learning by the Rebbe, the Ravid. The Ravid HaEshkol is the Rebbe, and our Ravid, Reb Avraham ben David, and the Baal HaMo'ar, Reb Zrachya Levi, are Chavrusas, they're learning by the Ravid. Rumor has it they both wanted to marry the same girl, who was the Rebbe's daughter, and that's why they were writing back and forth to prove that each of them knew how to learn and the other one doesn't know what's going on, right? If you read the Ravid and the Baal HaMo'ar, they're like fighting all the time. The idea is that they want to prove which one knows how to learn better. So the Baal HaMo'ar has a shita in his Hasagos on the Balei HaNefesh. He wrote, the Baal HaMo'ar's entire Mahalach is that he just writes Hasagos, no? Hasagos means that the Sefer that you guys are accepting, I'm going to prove to you why Erkenet learning, right? And I'll upslug it. That's his whole job in life. Dr. Soloveitchik in class always used to try to prove to us that don't give me any frum speak about how the Ravid and the Baal HaMo'ar really got along. They didn't get along. These guys are trying to kill each other. Right? And you read the insults that they have. They're pretty good, no? It's very stark. But, so the Baal HaMo'ar in his Hasagos on the Balei HaNefesh has as follows. There's a discussion in the Gemara where they have to keep Shiva Nekiyama, right? A woman who's a Zava. So you have to lechatchila. You have to check yourself every day. We'll see. It says in Shulchan Aruch twice a day, every day you check yourself, no? Twice a day, every day. Now, what about if you miss some of those Bidikos? Okay, it's probably not such a big deal. You miss on those Bidikos. Bidiyavet, it's okay. What about if you only check yourself on day one, or you only check yourself on day seven? Does that help or not? Tchilasan, afal pishen saifan, saifan al pishen tchilasan, tzmachlokas in the Gemara, right? Generally, in Shulchan Aruch, it says to be machmer in the Shaila. It's a very complicated Shaila. We'll talk about it when it comes up. L'maisa, I had a woman who came to me on a Friday night. She says, Rabbi, I'm supposed to go to the mikveh tonight. I'm like, thank you very much, but that's too much information. So she says, oh, by the way, I didn't do a bedikah on Yom Shvi'i. So I'm like, okay, well, how many bedikos did you do? So she says, well, I was only planning on doing one in seven. I didn't do a bedikah on day seven. And so that's a very serious Shaila on Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch technically is machmer in the Shaila, no? Shulchan Aruch technically says that you don't go. You can't go to the mikvah. Okay, right. The Baal HaMo'ar, however, has a shita where he says, you know what? I'm going to pass him a chakel on the Shabbat. Tchilasan afa pishen saifan and saifan afa pishen tchilasan. If you only have one, a bedika on day one, or you only have bedika on day seven, you don't have any other day. You don't have one and seven. We assume that you need one and seven. But if I only have one, I only have seven, I don't have the other, says the Baal HaMo'ar, I'm going to be maker on the Shaila. Why? Because since we are keeping Shiva Nekiyim only as a Chumrid Reb Zeira, only as a Minhag, so the Minhagim, that's his Lashon, the Minhagim Cholchem L'Hakel. That's his Lashon. Very interesting Lashon, no? You get an impression from the Baal HaMo'ar, right? This is Baal HaMo'ar in Shar HaSefira V'HaBedika HaGa'a Gimel. You get an impression that he assumes also that Chumrid Reb Zeira is only a minhag. Me'idach, there are many Mishnayim who assume that Chumrid Reb Zeira is an absolute requirement. Halachima, the Ramban, writes clearly that after B'nais Yisrael, right, we'll put the Ramban in our enactment camp, and I'm putting the entire enactment camp together. Whether it's an enactment because of Shash or because of Gezeira, I'm lumping it all together. The Ramban assumes that after B'nai Yisrael came up with the Minhag, then the rabbi said, do it. The Sefer HaChinuch, right, he says, do it. What about the Rashba and the Ritva? Right? Ritva? Rashba quotes both. Right, so Rashba is very interesting because Rashba is both here and there. Right? Rashba says it's O Mechumra Shehechmiru, O Mitakanas Chachamim. Right? That's his Lashon midivrehim o michomesh echmiru. The Rashba quotes both. The Ritva, however, clearly says that it is an enactment. No?
He also says both, but he says we wouldn't let it to other one.
What?
Right,
he says that, but Lamaisa for us, according to the Ritva, it's the same as the Ramban, that it used to be a minhag, then it became an enactment. Right? Now, this issue is important on a few levels. Whether it's an enactment or whether it's just a minhag is important on a few different levels. Let's start Minha Kal El HaKaved. Rav Wozner, in his Shi'urim, in the Shi'ur Sheva Talevi and Os Vav, discusses two issues. Last year when we learned Psachim, so we saw, I'm sure most people saw, in the Sugya of Schorah B'Yisurei Hana'ah, so there's a famous Taz, no? The Taz developed the Yesod that the rabbis don't have the authority to make a Takana against an Avna Pasach. No, something is befeirish in the Torah Shebikzav. One of the differences may be, I think this is the way I understood the Taz, that there's a chumra of Torah Shebikzav over Torah Shebal Peh. The chumra is that the rabbis have no authority on Torah Shebikzav land. When something is Torah Shebikzav, the rabbis can't legislate it. No, that's the way the Prima Glenn, my thought, takes it. There might be other approaches to the Taz, maybe the Pshat in the Taz, Dr. Lamb's grandfather in his Tshuvas has an interesting mahal in the Taz. He wants to say like this, that the Torah says in Parsha Shoftim last week that when you have a Shaila, ki polemim chodavar lamishpah, when you have a Shaila, then you go to the rabbis. There's only a question. Rabbis only have authorities, like Dr. Lamb's grandfather, Rabbi Yishua Boimel, in his Tshuvas, that rabbis only have authorities when there's a question. But if something's in Torah Shebikzav, it's not a question, ki huzet, no? That's like the Gemara that we mentioned before, the beginning of Horius. Zukri Beirah, something that's in Torah Shebikzav, it's not a question. If it's not a question, rabbis have no authority. They have no authority, they can't legislate against the Beferish Apostolic. Okay, that's the Yesod of the Taz. No? That rabbis can't legislate against something that's Beferish Apostolic. So the question comes up, how is there Chumra during Zera? No? The Torah says there's a difference, two Parshios, we read them at the end of Parshas Metzorah. There's a Din Nidan and a Din Zava. So how is it that we just erase all these dinim in the Chumash, no? How is it that we machavek, we dismiss it? It's against the Taz, right? Right? The Taz says that rabbis have no authority against something that's befeirish in the Chumash. So what's going on? That's the kasha that Rav Wozner asks in his Tshuvas. Yeah, Eitan.
If you say either chashash or gzeira, then you're not coming above it, you're saying it might be
right. But even a shash or a gezeira, remember, the Taz himself asks Akasha, how come I don't aser mila on Shabbos? Right, gezeira that maybe I will carry the izem shamila and I'll violate the Zohar Tzoa, just like I aser blowing shofar in Rosh Hashanah falls on Shabbos, maybe I'll carry the shofar, let me aser. So the Taz answers that no, mila on Shabbos is a beferish apostle by yom hashmini yimo basar olah. So by yom afilu b'Shabbos, he understands that's a beferish apostle, that's a shtickle chiddush on the Taz. Doesn't have that in my text. But the point is that the Taz is saying that what? That you can't go against a beferish apostle. Even though it's a gezeira, it's a chash, right? There's a real concern that still, maybe you'll come to carry, and the rabbis...
It's still very different, because that's still a bayom that, you know, where we're really very responsible to go back to being kind of into that. This is, we're protecting being over in Isidore, so it's not that we're overriding it.
Maybe there's room to distinguish, but I'm not convinced. Rabbi Yeshua Boimel in his Tshuvas really spends a lot of time, and actually this past year's Beis Yitzchak, Reb Shmero Shulman, guess never Shmero Sharon. He's like a Talmud Chacham. Like he's wild. He's gavaldic. So he wrote a kuntris in last year's Beis Yitzchak about this Taz. No? And Reb David Kohn just came out with a sefer called Sefer HaTaz HaYodua, which is all about this Taz. There's like 1,000 kashas on the Taz. It's a geshmaka topic. If anyone wants to give a good cheer, like all Shavuos night, it's a great cheer to give. No. You can spend all night analyzing the 9 million questions on the Taz and trying to answer them and developing a Yesod. It's a rich area. Yeah, Mr. Goldberg.
I thought that the problem was, in the Shevet Alevi presented, was that it's not that you're changing the laws of Diva and Nida, Zava and Nida, because you're really only adding, let's say, you know, like, I thought he brought it about the meddling with Puru.
That's his first segment. There's a few paragraphs. First, he has one paragraph about meddling with Puruvu. That we'll get to in a few minutes. I'm presenting it backwards for a reason. But then he has a little paragraph where he asks, what about the Taz? And look at it again. You'll see. He asks, what about the Taz? So he gives an answer. Yeah.
Isn't the original talk from the Chashash and the Zimra? Because the Chashash is saying, you are in violation of the Pasuk, perhaps.
Right, and Elchanan. So if it's a chash, maybe you could answer the kasha. But if it's a gezerah, the kasha is still fair. And Elchanan, I'm lumping chash and gezerah together because it makes it easier for my presentation. But right, this nekud in the Shem Talevi, if it's a chash, I think you could answer it. Absolutely. But the point is as follows. What Rav Wessner wants to suggest is that even if it's an enactment, because the enactment began as a minhag of the women, no? So a minhag you can make against the Beferish Pasuk. That's what he says. It's a little bit wild. Like, you've got to scratch your head. Is that true? Maybe we could be mafal about this. I'm not sure if he's right. But he assumes that a minhag you can have against the Beferish Pasuk. You can't make a gezeirah against the Beferish Pasuk. And once it began as a minhag, and then the rabbis are saying, keep the minhag, so that's okay. Like, we got in against the Taz through the back door. That's what the Shem Talevi wants to suggest. It's
to some extent, that sounds much worse. It sounds like about Taisa.
No, I don't think so. Because it's not about Taisa if you know what it is. If you specifically say, I know this is a minhag, right, that we are telling you to affirm the minhag, not a problem.
The Taz
is in three places. It is in Ayur Chaim Simen Tav Kuf Pei Hei, in Yerideya Simen Kuf Yud Zayin, and the Chosham Mishpat Simen Beis. No? Yerideya Kuf Yud Zayin, and the Chosham Mishpat Simen Beis. Taz is three places. Tav Kuf Pei Hei, in Ayur Chaim Kuf Yud Zayin, Yerideya Simen Beis, and Chosham Mishpat. Fine. Okay, now. So that's Rav Wessner's suggestion. So that's one issue that maybe the difference between being a minhag and being an enactment would come up. But what Rav Wessner was suggesting that even as an enactment, it's an enactment to affirm a previous minhag, consequently there's no problem with the Taz. But then Rav Wessner also wants to get into the big issue. There's an issue that everyone talks about called orthodox infertility. No? What's orthodox infertility? The basic issue is that certain women who have a shorter cycle end up ovulating in the middle of the Shiva Nikiyam, and as a result of their keeping Hilchos Nida, what emerges is that they can't become pregnant. No? That is what is called orthodox infertility. Shaila is, how can you have an institution of a minhag, the chumra of Reb Zeira, that basically is being mevatel a mitzvah's essay from min haTorah, and it's not a mitzvah that takes a while to get to. Mitzvah's essay aleph, the first one, Pru Urvu, right? So you have a chumra that's being mevatel a mitzvah's essay aleph. That's Rav Wessner's kasha, that's everybody's kasha. So comes along Rav Wessner, and he wants to say, you know what? This is a chumra of B'nais Yisrael. Jewish women. Are women mitzuvah and pruruvu? No siree. Right? Women don't have a tzivah and pruruvu. Memela, the women cut the chumra on themselves. So then, by default, you can't have the mitzvah pruruvu because, you know, once your wife is asura, it's not a problem for her. She has no mitzvah pruruvu. You couldn't do it. The rabbis couldn't make this gezeira. No? Because rabbis are men. Men are mitzvah and pruruvu. But women aren't mitzvah and pruruvu. That's what Rav Wessner says. It's a little bit razzle-dazzle. It's a little wild. That's what he striped there. That's what he meant. Interesting approach, yeah.
Could be that the women have to, looking for
a lot of
men to fill
their field. Right, so the Ran, at the beginning of the second Parak Kedushin, famously says that a woman is Messiah in the mitzvah. Again, you have to get involved in the whole discussion, Evan has a Simon Aleph, about whether women might not be Mitzvah Puruvu, maybe have a favor of Shevis, maybe Shevis relates to Puruvu, not relates to Puruvu. I mean, you could be Mephalp on this and loan this for hours upon hours, but that's what he says, yeah.
I don't understand. The Messiah's, how does the woman cannot get pregnant?
The women accepted this chumrah on themselves, this minhag on themselves. Women don't have an obligation for revu, so they can accept the minhag. Now, the fact is the indirect result of their chumrah is that the man, their husband, can't fulfill per revu. Okay, but that's indirect. It wasn't...
How does she become an akara? How does she ovulate early?
Because different women have different cycles. The average cycle is 28 days. And the average woman will ovulate on day 14 of the cycle, the midpoint of the cycle. If a woman has a shorter cycle, so ovulation generally is at the midway point of the cycle. Woman has a shorter cycle, it could be that she'll ovulate in the middle of Shivanikiyam. It's entirely possible. Today, with medication, we can finagle it a little bit. You don't have complete room. Orthodox infertility is a real issue. It does come up. Not completely uncommon. Rav Wozner says, Taka, that you know what, you'll be infertile. Rav Wozner is suggesting, right, that there is going to be no peripheral. You won't have children because of Chumrah Dereb Seva. Right? He's bothered by the mechanism, how you get to that point. But Enochanami, the upshot of the Chumrah Dereb Seva, is that you won't have children. Rav David of Nevardik. In the Chuvis, Galia Masechta, no? Rav David and Nevardik, famously, very famous. Why is it famous? It's famous because Rav Gustman, in the Kuntrase Shi'urim, in Masechas Kedushin, the last essay that Rav Gustman has is about the Koyach of Menhagen, no? And he quotes this Chuva of the Galia Masechta, of Rav David and Nevardik. So Rav David Nevardik, in his Chuvis, wants to say famously that, you know what, Orthodox infertility can't happen. It's not a concern, because if a woman ovulates the Emtsa Shivanikiyam, you know what we'll tell them? We'll tell them, go to the mikvah, even if it's during Shivanikiyam, and become pregnant. Right? Why? Because the minhag cannot possibly come and get rid of the mitzvah of fruit revival. Rav David Nevardik is mechalik, right, famously between a mitzvah d'rabbanan and a minhag. Zucht Er, I want to say that by a mitzvah d'rabbanan there's a din of sasur. By a mitzvah d'rabbanan, you're mechuyev to listen to the rabbis because the Torah says in Parashas Shoftim, right, that v'asisa k'chol asher yorucha, there's a mitzvah saseh to listen to rabbis, and there's a lav not to listen to rabbis, lo sasur, mikol asher yomer lecha yamin u'smol. No? Aseh, lo saseh, you have to listen to rabbis. Says Rav David Nevardik, that's true only by mitzvos d'rabbanan, that you have lo sasur. If it's a minhag, there is no lo sasur. There's no lav, there's no assay, right? The reason I listen to Minhagen is not at all based on the Din Dari Raya. So the Gemara in the Darim Adaf Tesvav and Adaf Pei Aleph, the Gemara in the Darim says that how come I listen to Minhagen? Because it's a Din of Bal Yachel Devarai Midrabanan. Right? Minhagen is Kol Kulo, is entirely Midrabanan. It does not even link to Lo Sasar. It does not link to the rabbis at all, Minhagen. There's no Lo Sasar. Consequently, Rav David Nevardik wants to say that he can explain the Tosfos in Brachos, in Daf Tesvav. No? We know that can a katan be multi a gadol with mitzvos? The general use in that katan is only chayiv midrabanan, no? And it can't be multi a gadol who's chayiv min haTorah. What about if the gadol was also only chayiv midrabanan? Let's say the gadol ate a kezayis of bread. He's only chayiv midrabanan. So the Gemara says that fundamentally, no, a katan can be multi a gadol in that case. But you should be cursed. Tavo me'era. No, you should be cursed if you have your kid. My son likes this stuff. Right, he's 11, so he's very into it. Like, all right, when I go away, he wants to like, make kavdola for my wife. So it's like, no, you're going to be asleep before Shabbos is over, so you can't make kavdola for my wife. And we try to explain this to him, but he doesn't go for it. But the point is, a katan can't be multi a gadol. But if the gadol only ate a kezayis, so then the Gemara says fundamentally the katan can be multi a gadol. Tais asks Akasha, so how come a katan can't be multi a gadol with mikra megillah?
Mikra Megillah is also only Midrabanan. So there are different approaches that are given in Mishnah in places, and different places says different things. Rav Dovid Nevardik wants to say as follows. He wants to say, you know what? When I eat a kizayis of bread and then I bench, is that a din d'rabbanan to bench? Zot Rav Dovid Nevardik, it's not a din d'rabbanan. The Lashon HaGemara is Hein Hechmiru Al Atzmon. It's Samazai Yechumrah. Because it's only a chumrah, so therefore it's a lower level chayiv, therefore katan can be ma'itzinu. Mikra Megillah is legislation. Mikra Megillah is something that the rabbis told you you have to do. No rabbi ever said you have to bench when you need a kizayis. Klal Yisrael, hey nechmiru atman, we accept it on ourselves, it's a minhag. Therefore katan can be ma'itzinu. But a something that fundamentally is midrabanan, the katan can't be ma'itzinu. That's what Dovid Nevardik's chiddush, no? That's what he's using to illustrate the difference between a minhag, right, and something that fundamentally is a din d'rabbanan. Yeah, Jason.
I'm just wondering on this kizayis shiva that if it's only a d'rabbanan to bench on that, but you're saying God's name, and that's a d'rabbanan.
Okay, so again, so we generally assume that Moshe Shem Shamayim in the context of a bracha is only an iser d'rabbanan. It might be Machlokes Tosfos and Rambam. But at least in the world of Tosfos, you could say that it's only Drabbanan. Tosfos and Rashi Daf Lamed Gimel, so it's only Drabbanan. Yeah, right.
Do rabbis in America pasken this from Dovid Nevardik Loisa?
We'll get there. But the point that Dovid Nevardik is saying is that you can't have Orthodox and Fartoni because the minhag basically is conflicting with the real halacha pru revu. So when the minhag conflicts with the real halacha, we dispose of the minhag. I just want to illustrate this point. If you mind just holding the questions, I want to finish the shiur. I'm going to give two other examples of this. Rav Gustman, at the end of the Kuntros Shiurim in Kedushin, quotes that this might be the Pshat and the Machloikas between the Rambam and the Ra'ivid in Hilchos Korban Pesach. The Rambam says, how do you make a Korban Pesach? You put it on the stick and you roast the whole thing. Right? That's what the Chumash sounds like. The Ra'ivid writes, if I would be, Ilu Zachisi, if I'd be Zaycha to bring a Korban Pesach, and the Rambam makes such a Korban Pesach, Hayisi Chofta Apanav, I'd throw the Korban Pesach in his face. No? It's fighting words, no? So what's the Ravid bothered by? Zuck the Kesef Mishnah, the Ravid is bothered. 1 second, you roast the whole Korban Pesach. What about the Gid HaNosha? What about the Shuman HaGid, etc.? Right? You can't just roast an entire Korban Pesach, but Gid HaNosha. So then they say, hey, Gid HaNosha, that's not a problem. We learned the last year Pesach, and the in the Gidin, the Noising Tam. No? That is, the Gid is a shtikolt. It's a piece of wood. It won't infuse any taste. So, okay. But what about the Shuman Shogid? The Shuman Shogid is the fat around the Gid. Any of you guys were on the Shechita trip with Rav Ben Chaim that we do? No? You see the Gid and the Gid Pnimi, the Gid Chitzon, there are three Gidin. Right? The Gid Pnimi is the Raisa. Gid Chitzon is the Rabbanan. And Shuman Shogid is only a Minhag. It's Yisrael Kedosh and Nahag Bo Eser. Right? So Rav Gustman in that Shtikot Torah wants to say that fundamentally the Machlokes Rambam and Ra'ivid over there ends up being about Shuman Shogir. That the Rambam is saying, you know what, the Gid HaNosha Doi Ra'isa you'll get rid of. The Gid HaNosha you'll get rid of. The Rambam doesn't tell me that because everybody knows the Din of Gid. But the Shuman Shogir, the fat of the Gid HaNosha, so that the Rambam holds you'll weave in. The Minhag is we don't eat Shuman Shogir. The answer is yeah, but the Minhag doesn't apply when the Minhag contradicts the halacha, because the halacha is that the Korban Pesach has to be roasted rosho al kra'av of al kirbo. They'll have to roast the entire Korban Pesach. So that is the second example of a minhag interfering with halacha. The third example of a minhag interfering with halacha, which if you quote me on as saying this, I will hereby deny. Okay? What? I'm recording. Anyone who listens to the shiur can say the shtickle tire, but you can't quote me as saying it. Okay? Gemara in Brachos and Daf Vav says, Harogil lavoi lebeis hakneses. The person usually comes to shul in the morning, usually davens with a minion, and he misses a day. So God asks about him, how come you missed? If you miss for a dvar mitzvah, so God will punish you. But if you miss for a dvar mitzvah, so God will say it's okay. Zaklin Nitziv in the Merome Sadeh on that Gemara, Boba Midbeis and Brachas. Nitziv writes, what's the pshat in the Gemara? He says, everybody knows that there's no mitzvah to daven with the minion in the morning. It's only a minhag. It's a minhag to daven with the minion. Why is it a minhag? Because it enables your tefillos to be answered more. Right? But fundamentally, you can daven without a minion. So now, when they have a minhag, and the minhag interferes with a mitzvah, right?
You know what I'm saying. Right? Don't quote me. But that's the point. The point is that the Netziv is saying the same shtickle Torah in the Merome Sada, saying that the minhag of davening with a minyan, when it interferes with the mitzvah, so you just throw away the minhag. The lumdus of this, the way Rabbi Gustman explains it, is because obviously Klai Yisrael would never noheg the minhag in this situation. Right? If it's a minhag that ends up going against the mitzvah, so we never accepted the minhag in this situation when it's going to go against the mitzvah, so therefore we'll dismiss the minhag again. And we have three examples in terms of Orthodox infertility, in terms of Korban Pesach, and in terms of davening with a minyan when it interferes with doing some other mitzvah. Now, do the Achronim accept Rav David Nevardik's Chiddush that Orthodox infertility can't happen? You go to the mikveh ben shiv and the kiyam and you try to become pregnant. General answer is no. Chacham Ovadia Yosef, in his Taharas Habayis page, Chavches Berulam and Gimel, I think it was, he basically says that we don't accept Rav David Nevardik, and there are two reasons why Rav David Nevardik is not accepted. Reason number one that he's not accepted is because, we have it on the board, it might be a gezeira, it might be an enactment, not a minhag. Who says it's a minhag? If it's a minhag, maybe he'd be right. But we have that the Ramban and the Sefer HaChinuch and the Ritva, and one day in the Rashba, they assume that's an enactment. And the Gemara, by the way, in Brachos on Daf Lamed Aleph says, halacha psuka. Right? The Gemara says, ein oimdim lehisfao mitol halacha psuka. Right? And the halacha psuka is, b'nos yisroh, hechmur al-asma, shafir, rolo, simpas, nakatada, yoshla, zaynikim. And any of you take out the siddur of the Ramban? The Rambam in his Siddur at the end of Sefer Ahava begins davening by saying, "Ein oimdim lehisfao mitol halacha psuka." That's what the Rambam begins davening every day. Right? The Rambam started davening by saying Chumrat Reb Zeira. Right? The Rambam. So
he was one of the
men. No. So again, the Gemara says it's halacha psuka. Being a halacha psuka doesn't necessarily mean that it's not a minhag. Right? Like the Ravid himself quoted both. Halacha psuka might just mean something that everybody does. Right? You should begin davening without having to think about complicated things. Begin, everybody knows. Right? Everybody knows that B'nai Yisrael Atman. That's where the Rambam begins stabbing. Fundamentally, it's a minhag. Okay. But the point is, the Lashon Gemara that's halacha psuka might be closer to the Ramban Sefer Chinuch Ritva. Maybe the Yesh Lodon that it could be explained the other way. But the fact is, most Achroinim assume that Reb David Nevardik is wrong, because who says Chumrat Reb Zeira is only a minhag? Maybe it's required by Ikar HaDin. Moreover, maybe he's wrong, because most women, how long do they menstruate for, by the way? 4 or 5 days. Once I'm menstruating for 4 or 5 days, that means I'm not in Chumrat Reb Zeira land, I'm already in Takana of Rebbe Shebesugli's land. No? The whole thing could be a mistake. Because once you're menstruating for 4 or 5 days, that means that 4 or 5, again, I don't know how many of you were, like, graduated college, went to high school, went to elementary school, realized that 4 and 5 is bigger than 3. Right? So, Lamaisa, right, it should be in the Takana of Rebbe land. Takana of Rebbe for sure is a Takana. So now, there is a Sefer, the Taharas Mayim, Reb Nissen Tolushkin. Okay, let's just hold questions for 2 minutes because I want to finish up. Reb Nissen Tolushkin is a Sefer Taharas Mayim. Nissen Tolushkin was a Lubavitcher. He wrote an awesome Sefer Mikvois. On page Shin Yud, he has like some essays in the back. He has an essay about what bracha you make when you eat bran flakes in the morning. He has essays about whether there's a problem with Bishul Akum, with corn flakes. Like, he has like some strange essays in the back. One of the essays he has in the back is about this topic. So he says, you know what, he quotes him an earlier Sefer, the Machshavos Ve'etzah, that says, you know what, you can rely on Reb David Nevardik, providing you make sure that the Chumrah, that's only a Chumrah Reb Zeira case, it's not a possible Zava D'Oraisa case. How do you do that? Well, you have to go back to the Sugya in Erechon and Daf Ches, and figure out whether, because the Gemara in Erechon says that if you have 17 clean days, so then for sure you solve your problem, you know what's a needle, what's a zava. He says you can solve the problem, he makes a whole complicated cheshbon. You ask the two following questions. One, were you tahira for 10 days or more? Two, were you tameya for 10 days or less? If you get the answer, right, you get the right answers to these questions, again, pay chin yud alpha and taharas mayim. So then you know for sure that you're a nida, not a zaba. If you know for sure that you're a nida, not a zaba, so we don't have the takon of Rebbe Shibasadais. He wants to say, because maybe that's only for Amei Oret, so we could ask these questions to you, and we'll solve the time. You know for sure you're a nida, not a zaba, and then maybe you can rely on, right? Galyum Sefer. He doesn't quote this on the Galyum Sefer. He quotes a tshuva of Rav Kook about this topic. Everybody wrote about Orthodox infertility. It's a big topic. Now, the Maizel, most poskim do not come out lahakel on the David Nevardik Shaila. However, I have the following story. I was born in Baltimore, and my father had a chavrusa around the time I was born, who he and his wife, this chavrusa actually was just nifter. But he and his wife, my father's chavrusa and his wife, weren't able to have children. So it turned out that they had what's called Orthodox infertility, that she was ovulating the emes shiva nikiyim. So they decided, the rabbanim in Baltimore decided they had to go to Reb Moshe to ask the shaila. The problem was that my father's chavrusa didn't speak a word in Yiddish. My father spoke Yiddish. So my father went together with his chavrusa to Reb Moshe to ask Reb Moshe whether they could be make on the shaila. So they go to Reb Moshe, and Reb Moshe says, you know, I can't answer the shaila now. Take your temperature more, find out exactly when the ovulation is, come back next month. He drained them around 4 or 5 times, and eventually Reb Moshe said, you know what, I'm going to be make on the shaila, but don't tell him. that's the basic story. Now, I have a shtickle raya that this story is 100% true, besides the fact that I heard from my father, because if you look in Chelak Yeridei of Igros Moshe, Siman Sadi Gimel, Reb Moshe says, when someone comes to me with this shaila, right, min hagi lidchos olsam, I try to push them away. I try to say, come back later. In other words, Reb Moshe does not say not to be making on the shaila. Except, Moshe just says, I try to push them away. Chelak Yeridei, Siman Sadi Gimel, the Igros Moshe. So that's the basic story that I know about Orthodox infertility. Again, but this is a shaila you could only be maker on with Gedolei Hora'ah. Even Reb Moshe was scared to be maker on the shaila. Even Nusan Tolushkin, you read his essay, he doesn't say beferish that he's maker on it. You have to like, read between the lines. No one is saying lemaisa to make on the shaila. Again, right? Enactment. Ramban, Sevrachina, Ritva, right? It's a very serious shaila. So that's the basic story of Chumrah Derek Zera. Okay, Rabbi Osai, we'll continue on Wednesday. Make sure you know the Pesukei Teshuva, the different types of Hargashos, because you got to start. Now we're beginning the real limud of Kuf Pei Gimel from now on. Until this has been background, now we're really beginning to learn. Okay, thank you for coming. Yeah.